Hebrews 13, verses 20 to 21. Taking a quick break from the book of Titus, looking at this benediction, this blessing from God. This blessing which is rooted in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So listen as I read and learn to cherish these words as God's great blessing on you. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Out in the west where I grew up, in the dry climates of northern Arizona and Colorado and Utah, there's quite a bit of money spent on avoiding forest fires. So I grew up listening to Smokey the Bear saying, only you can prevent forest fires. And when we went camping, there's oftentimes warnings telling us that we couldn't burn in a campfire because it was too dry, and so there might be a risk of a wildfire spreading. So I grew up with this idea that forest fires are destructive and bad, and they are to be avoided at all costs. But over the years, scientists and forest rangers have discovered the vital importance of the life of the importance of forest fires in the life of the ecosystem. Destructive fire actually can bring about a sort of new birth for the forest. As dead brush and branches and fallen trees collect on the ground, it impedes new life from sprouting and growing. But when a fire sweeps through the forest, it burns all that dead wood, it eliminates the disease, the decay, it kills the parasites, and it fills the soil with rich nutrients so that seeds can germinate and new life can grow. It seems counterintuitive. It's a sort of a paradox. But new life comes through devastating fire. This is particularly true for a certain pine tree, a pine tree called the jack pine tree. The jack pine tree grows pine cones like other pine trees, but the pine cones that the jack pine grows are solid and sealed shut, with its seeds securely inside. And the pine cone and its seeds remain dormant until it is exposed to high temperatures like a fire. When a fire comes through, the resin inside that cone melts, and the cone pops open, releasing its seeds onto the ground. And the jack trees really are some of the first plants to come to life again out of that charred landscape. So for the jack pine, new life comes through fire. It's a paradox of nature. Well, in our passage today, we are presented with a very similar kind of paradox. A very important paradox for the human race to understand. And here's the paradox. Resurrection comes through blood. Resurrection comes through blood. Or another way of saying it is that new life comes through death. New life comes through death. It doesn't make sense. It seems counterintuitive. It seems silly. And that's why we call it a paradox. Life comes through death. In our passage, God makes the connection that He raised Jesus from the dead by or through the blood of the eternal covenant. And so without shed blood, the shed blood of Christ, there would be no resurrection. But because He shed His holy, precious, perfect blood, we have the living hope of the resurrection. Resurrection comes through blood. This is important for us to know and remember in this sin-cursed, difficult, dying world. Because we need hope. We need real living hope. We need the hope of the resurrection to make it. And what God's telling us here is that if He was able to resurrect Jesus Christ through the power of the blood, then as those who rest in Jesus by faith, you also will be resurrected. Our hope rests in this paradox, that our resurrection rests in the precious blood of our Savior. Kids, if you want to draw a picture, you can draw a picture of that jack pine tree that gets burned up. But in the midst of being burned up, its seeds are released onto the ground, which then sprout new life. New life comes through death. Resurrection comes through blood. Put your hope in the resurrection through the precious blood of your Savior. So this passage does present to us this paradox of resurrection through blood. And so we're going to explore what this really means. How do we have life through death? And we're going to explore how it gives us hope right now here on earth as we live this life. And as we think about this paradox, I want to ask four questions. The first question is this: who came up with this paradox? Who came up with this paradox? Who decided that resurrection had to come through blood? Well, right at the beginning of verse 20, we are introduced to the God of peace. The triune God of peace. He's the one who came up with this life-giving paradox. The Hebrew word for peace, if the New Testament scriptures were written in Hebrew, for sure they would have used the word shalom, which is the word for wholeness and health and welfare. Spiritual, physical, and emotional peace. As the God of peace, He is at peace among Himself, among the persons of the Trinity. There's no discord or division among them, but they are perfect, perfectly united in peaceful shalom. No division in the Godhead. And as the God of peace, He created a world of peace, filled with peace and wholeness and happiness and joy. But of course, that peace didn't last, because we destroyed that peaceful world by following Satan into sin. And through our sin, that peaceful shalom that God created this world with was shattered to billions of pieces. The whole world now is splintered with conflict and strife and tension. Our lives are splintered with conflict and tension and discord. Our hearts are now filled with anxiety and sorrow and sin. And instead of life, death is what marks our world. We're not at peace with God. We're not at peace with each other. We're not at peace within ourselves. And we're not at peace with this world. But thankfully, this God of peace set out to restore this peaceful shalom to His creation and to the human race. To put all these shattered, broken pieces of His creation back together. To put the fractured human race together. To bring wholeness and peace. He set out to restore peace. Peace with God, peace with each other, peace within ourselves, and peace with this world. To make life whole again. In this broken and divided world, it's good to know that we have a powerful God of peace who is pursuing peace and establishing it here once again. Well, to establish this peace, to put this sinful, shattered world back together again, to redeem the human race, He came up with this paradox in the form of what is called here an eternal covenant. It says that Jesus was resurrected by the blood of the eternal covenant. This eternal covenant set forth this paradox of resurrection through blood. It put it into effect. As the God of peace in eternity past, knowing that sin would destroy this peaceful world, He made a covenant there within the Godhead through which He would restore life and shalom through death and blood. Resurrection would come through blood. New life through death. God the Father decided to redeem His people from their sins, and the only way that this could be actually carried out so that He could be both just and one who justifies sinful people is if a perfect eternal human being would die in their place. So God the Father commissioned the second person of the Trinity to go, to become human, and to die. Jesus was appointed to die to bring new life, to bring resurrection to us and to this world, to bring us redemption by the spilling of His blood there on the cross. And then God the Father commissioned the Holy Spirit, the second person of the Trinity, to take the power that was purchased by that blood to give us new resurrected lives. So without blood, we would not have life. Through blood, God brings new life. Through this blood, God puts the broken pieces of our lives back together, puts the broken world back together. Through blood, He brings shalom and wholeness and peace, resurrection through blood. So who came up with this paradox? The triune God of peace established the eternal covenant through which God would bring life and peace through His death. Resurrection through blood. What a great hope that we have that God is reworking life into this world, this cursed and dying world, so that we would have life. Through this eternal covenant, He's bringing peace and wholeness once again. So that's the first question. Who came up with this paradox? It's that the triune God of peace. The second question is, how does this paradox really work? How does blood, the blood of Jesus, actually have the power to bring new life? Well, here's how it works. The world that we live in is broken and cursed and splintered, as we've talked about. It's a world filled with conflict and disease and death. You suffer from this curse every moment of your lives. You suffer sorrow and conflict and pain. This is a world where Satan himself has power to kill and devour. And the single reason why the world is this way is because of sin. Sin destroyed everything. Through sin, you became enemies with God. Through sin, you became slaves to Satan. Through sin, you suffer conflict and disease and death. Through sin, you are cursed. The cause of all the problems in this world are because of sin. And that's why sin is such a central theme in Scripture. Our sin destroyed this world. Well, if sin is the culprit, if you can just then get rid of sin, then you can bring new life and shalom into the world. Well, how can you get rid of sin? The problem is that you and I, we can't get rid of sin. We are dead in sin. We are slaves to sin. We are bent towards sin. Every part of our being is corrupt because of sin. We are entirely incapable of getting rid of sin. So that's why the God of peace had to do it for us. So when Jesus hung on the cross, as His blood drained from His body onto the dusty earth, His life slipped away from Him, God placed on Him all of the sins of His people. That means that God blamed Jesus for what you've done in this life. And because He is guilty, God poured out His red-hot, burning wrath on His own Son. Jesus was consumed by the wrath of God, the way fire burns up dry pine branches. God carried out His full and perfect justice on His own Son so that your sins would be buried forever. He spilled His blood so that your sins would be separated from you as far as the east is from the west, so that you would be forgiven. Through the cross, Jesus took care of our sins, which is the lone cause of the curse and death and conflict. Now, with our sins taken care of through faith in the blood of Christ, Satan, sin, conflict, disease, and death, they no longer have any real hold over us. And we're promised a new life, the resurrected life, in a world of shalom. Peace with God, peace with one another, peace within ourselves, within our minds and hearts, and peace with this world. With sin taken care of, we have new life. And that's great news. We have life through His blood. So I ask you, are your sins taken care of? Have your sins really been dealt with? If you don't trust in Jesus, then you're still dead in your sins and you have no hope. And the curse and wrath of God is all you will ever know. But if by faith you trust in Jesus who died, who shed His blood to bury our sins in the grave, you have new life. You enjoy God's love that we've sung about. That's the promise of God through the blood of Jesus. Through blood, you have life. So God came up with this paradox of resurrection through blood. He came up with it and formulated it in that eternal covenant. And the way that this paradox works is that through the blood of Jesus, our sins are taken care of. And if we are forgiven, then we have new life. Well, the third question is, how do we know this is true? How do we know this paradox is really true? It's great news if it's true, but how do we know it's true? Well, to show that this paradox is true, to show the fact that through blood the resurrection was purchased, 3 days after Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit reached into the grave and pulled Him back to life. Because of the victory that was accomplished over sin through the shedding of blood, the Holy Spirit actually had the power to reach into the grave to bring Him back to life. If His death, the spilling of His blood had not accomplished victory over sin, then not even God could have raised Him from the dead. If sin had not been taken care of, then because He is just, all those who died in their sin have to remain dead because of His justice. God's justice would keep Him from raising His own Son from the dead. But the fact that the God of peace brought Jesus back from the dead gives us eternal proof that sin was in fact defeated on the cross. Justice was satisfied. Victory was won through the shedding of blood. The paradox is proven to be true. Resurrection comes through the blood of Christ. You know, we've had 2,000 years of getting used to this idea of the resurrection. And I confess that I'm not wowed by it enough. It's hard to wrap your mind around something so profound. You can't quite grasp it. Death is so ingrained into this world and into life that it's hard to have this concept of the resurrection to sink into our minds. It's hard to comprehend something so profound. Jesus actually rose from the dead, never to die again, affirming that resurrection and new life come through His blood. New life comes through His death. If He did not rise from the dead, then victory was not accomplished there on the cross. We're still in our sins and we have no hope, doomed to die. But on that glorious morning, Jesus did raise. He rose from the dead, proving that He defeated sin. He satisfied justice. He crushed the head of Satan, so He no longer has power over us. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that this paradox is true. We know that we have life through His blood. This is great news. Jesus rose from the dead. We have new life through His blood. The last question then is, what does this paradox mean for you today, right now? How does this reality impact your life right now as you live day by day in this sin-cursed world? Well, Jesus is here referred to in this passage as the Great Shepherd of the Sheep. And that's not just a random title that the writer uses to speak of Jesus here, but it's a title that's meant to give us great hope. A shepherd, of course, leads his sheep, and where the shepherd goes, the sheep follow. And so by referring to Jesus as the great shepherd of the sheep, we are reminded that where He goes in the resurrection, we also will follow. If Jesus is resurrected in glory, then we also will be resurrected in glory. In 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus is called the first fruits of the resurrection. And the idea here is that He rose from the dead with new life. Before all of us, He was the first ripened fruit. And in time, if you are in Christ, you also will rise with Him. Jesus, our great shepherd, did not just accomplish victory over sin simply to bring about His own resurrection, to wow us who are dying. But He accomplished victory over our sin to bring about your resurrection as well. Because He buried your sin in the grave, because He has satisfied divine justice on your behalf, you also get to enjoy the resurrected life of Shalom. He's first, but we will follow. Now, the problem that we run into is that when we think of the resurrection, we often think of it only as a future event. When Jesus returns in glory, the dead will be raised. Those who died in their sin will be raised and then punished in everlasting hell. And those in Christ will be raised to everlasting life, to enjoy life with God in the new heavens and new earth, to enjoy shalom with God forever. We think of it as a future event, and very much so. It is a future event. When Jesus returns in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be made perfect, body and soul. The curse of sin and death, the struggle that we endure right now, will no longer plague us. And so we look forward to the fullness of the resurrection, but we also need to rejoice in the reality that there is we get to enjoy the resurrection in part right now. The Bible speaks of your resurrection in the past tense, as well as in the future tense. Think about it in the past tense. Ephesians 2 says that you were dead in your sin, enslaved by Satan, following your own perverted desires, but God in His mercy made you alive, past tense, in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if you are in Christ, then you are a new creation. The old man has passed away, past tense. Behold, your new life has come, past tense. At the beginning of Colossians 3, it says that you have already been raised, past tense, with Christ. Ephesians 2:6 says that you have been seated, past tense, with Christ in the heavenly realms. 1 Peter 1 says that you have been, past tense, born again into a living hope through the resurrection. All these passages and many others confirm to us that if you trust in Jesus Christ, your resurrection in part is already done. It's already happened. It's something you already enjoy. If you're in Christ, then you have been resurrected in part through the blood of Jesus Christ. He has bought new life for you through His death. And just as the Holy Spirit miraculously and powerfully reached into the grave and pulled Jesus back to life, with that same power, He reached into your heart and brought you back to life. He brought you back to life when you were dead in sin, made you alive to God. You are spiritually alive now through faith in Christ. You're not walking among the dead. You're not the walking dead anymore. You're alive to God. So if you are in Christ, there was a definitive moment in your life where you were brought to life, where you were resurrected in part. So there is this past aspect to the resurrection. There's also a present aspect to the resurrection. Even as creatures who've been born again, you continue to bear a shattered and marred image of God. you continue to live in a cursed world, a broken world filled with sorrow and pain and conflict, and I don't have to convince you of that. You know that by experience. The image that God created in you is broken and distorted. And this earth, you could never stretch it so much to say that this earth would be called Shalom right now. But through the blood of Christ, the Holy Spirit right now is bringing that reality, the reality of the resurrection, to bear in your life by conforming you into the image of our Savior. Through the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is powerfully putting these broken pieces of His image back together in you. There's a great passage at the end of Ephesians chapter 1 that says that the same power that worked to raise Christ from the dead and seated Him in the heavenly places, that great power is also working toward us, working for us, working in us who believe. What that means is the power of the resurrection, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is at work in you right now, conforming you into the image of God, bringing your life into shalom, into peace, so that you would bear the image of the perfected, of the perfect God, eternal God. In fact, the essence of this blessing here in Hebrews is that God promises to make the resurrection more and more a reality in your life. Listen to the blessing. He says, "Now may the God of peace, this God of shalom, who through this blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd, our shepherd whom we will follow, may this God equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in you what is pleasing to Him." The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you right now, working, equipping you to do what's good and to please God. He's working a miracle in your life right now. And He says that He's doing it through Jesus Christ, through the blood of our Savior. He's bringing into reality the fullness of the resurrection in your life, piece by piece, moment by moment, day by day. What God promises you in this blessing is that He's going to piece you back together to bring you to that resurrected state of shalom. It is so overwhelming, exhausting to live in this cursed world with our cursed lives. It's exhausting to have this marred, shattered image of God where we're still entangled in sin, we're still perverted and distorted. And man, those moments of your perversion and sin are sometimes so painfully obvious. They're still painfully obvious in my life. But our great hope through Jesus Christ is that He is working His power to correct the distortions of His image in you. He's bringing to you to perfect wholeness, shalom and perfection, to escort you into glory forever with Him. He's working the resurrection in your life right now. I don't have to remind you that the curse still hangs over you, that sin still overwhelms you and sorrow still entangles you and death still stalks you. It won't be long before we are all dead. But as we face this harsh reality, through the blood of Christ, we know that we were born again, and even though we die, yet we shall live. And by that power, the power of that blood that the Holy Spirit used to raise Jesus from the dead, He's using that power to perfect you right now, 1 minute at a time, day by day, one step closer to that point of the full and glorious resurrection. This is the present reality of the resurrection. So as you face those circumstances and you face strong temptations to give up, to give in the face of sin and in the face of the curse. Remember that God is equipping you with everything good for doing His will. And He's working in you what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, through that blood. Our only hope in overcoming this world, our only hope in bearing the fruit of the Spirit and being sanctified in this life, the only hope that you have that you will really actually one day learn to love your spouse the way you're supposed to, the only hope that you have that you will actually seek first His kingdom, the hope that you have that you will not tomorrow forsake the faith, is not because you're strong enough to handle it, but it's only because through the blood of Christ, the Holy Spirit is working the power of the resurrection in your life right now, and He won't quit until you're done. You should feel inadequate in yourself to handle the troubles of life. But through this promise, this blessing, you should have an invincible, an unconquerable hope, because God promises to equip you with His strength to walk this road of life, to give you the faith that you need to do His will, to please Him. And one day that process will be brought to a dramatic conclusion when Christ does return, body and soul in glory, perfecting you, body and soul, escorting you into the glorious new heavens and new earth, where you will enjoy shalom forever in the presence of God. What a glorious hope that we have. Resurrection through blood, life through death. What a great paradox to live by. Just as that jack pine tree depends on fire to bring new life, so we depend entirely from beginning to end on the blood of Christ to bring about our resurrection. Your justification, the moment you are brought to life, your sanctification, when He conforms you into His image, and your glorification, when you're perfected with Him forever in an endless state of glory, is all because Jesus spilled His blood for you. Resurrection through blood. This blessing ends with the only proper response to this great news. It ends with a doxology. Doxology is simply meaning speaking praise to God. This past, present, and future resurrection comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Since it's through the blood of Jesus that we have this resurrection, since it's through His death that we have life, since He's the one who is to be who is our great shepherd, whom we'll follow into the resurrection, He is to be the one that we glorify and praise forever and ever. We can't take any credit for any single part of this work. There's no room for you to boast, for me to boast, but rather give praise to Jesus Christ, who spilled His blood for you to purchase and guarantee your resurrection. What a glorious hope we have. What a glorious Savior we have. As those who have received this glorious resurrection and look forward to the fullness of this resurrection, give praise right now and on into eternity to the Lord Jesus Christ, who bought you new life through His blood. Rejoice with hope in this glorious resurrection that was bought through His blood. Let's pray together. Our triune God of peace, we thank You for coming up with this paradox of resurrection through blood. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for spilling Your blood to defeat Satan, sin, and death. And we thank You, Holy Spirit, for proving His victory by raising Him from the dead. Because You, Lord Jesus, have been raised, we also will be raised. Because You, Lord Jesus, were raised, we also were raised with You. please continue to bring the resurrection into reality in our lives and in this world. And let the message of the resurrection through your blood go out throughout this world to bring new life to those who are dead in sin and hope to those who are hopeless. Freedom to those who are enslaved. Carry to completion what you've begun in our lives through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's sing.